Blog Talk Radio.
Studies of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whom we study every night on the Real Talk for Real People show. And also, we keep a pulse on us as a people, and we're cognizant of everything that's going on in our universe, as all be. But we have been socially engineered and conditioned so much as a people, we're only self-interested. Only things around our immediate familiarities are we concerned about. We don't want to become world knowledgeable. We don't want to be cognizant of what's going on in our universe. We're so focused on the immediate needs and not looking at everything is related. Things that happened in Israel affects us. Things that happened in Palestine affects us. Things that happen in the Sudan affects us. Things that happen in Mizraim, Egypt, as you call it, affects us. Everything in this world has a domino effect upon us. And it pays to be cognizant of everything in our universe. I don't care what they tell you in school. I don't care what they tell you in your fine four star, blue star, WASP colleges. The only thing I care that much about anyway, or anything for that matter, is wisdom and understanding. Get you wisdom and understanding. You'll be a whole lot further ahead than those that get a four-year college education. I'm not demeaning a college education per se. There's nothing wrong with you getting a college education, but along with that gets you some wisdom and understanding. It comes from only one source. No, not from Penn State, not from Harvard, not from Southern California. It comes from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Get you that along with that college education, along with that degree in whatever field, technical field you may want to pursue. But most importantly, get you some wisdom and understanding, first and foremost. Because there are things in this world, in this universe, that will assail you. You won't find the answer in your four-star college, but you will find the answer with wisdom and understanding. You will find the answer with people of your own kind who are cognizant of everything. No, you won't get it from your friends per se, unless they are cognizant of who they are, what they are, and what they should be doing. Or your family per se, unless they are cognizant of who they are, what they are, and what they should be doing. And if they have wisdom and understanding. And that's what we love about our studies. In accordance to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And also we love keeping a pulse, not only this universe, but most importantly on each other. Why per se, you may ask, Yamsu, should I keep a pulse on my people? Because you need to know what you're doing, who you're doing, and what you're doing, and why you're doing it, and who you're doing it with. All of us ain't about us. So that means just because they look at anything remotely like you, that don't mean you can hang out with them. Especially if they have no wisdom and understanding. Especially if they have no God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, the only one. And especially if they continue to do what they've been doing over and 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 over again, expecting different results. It's just that simple. And I'm not saying don't love your people, but you can't stick with everybody that you love. You want me to repeat that for you? I'm not telling you don't love your people and do for them when you can and how you can and when you can. But even that being said, you can't stick with some of your people because they have no wisdom and understanding. They know not Yah, and they don't have any love for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and they don't have any love for themselves. They have been socially engineered and conditioned to hate what remotely looks like them, to write a rap song about it, to make their women despicable and disgusting, to shoot each other over insignificant reasons. Yes, love your people. But that being said, you can't stick with all your people all the time. Especially if they have no God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And especially if they don't love themselves, they have low self-esteem. Anyone give them a flattery? Ooh. Ooh. And Yah has told us about, listen to flattery. Ooh. You say I'm smart? Ooh. And you can't read a book. You say, I'm intelligent. You don't even know what one and one is. 2-2, 4-4. But you listen to the nonsense that we project upon each other. Yes, I always keep a pulse on our people and do good by our people. Learn to help our people. But even that being said, you can't hardly help nobody that don't want to help themselves. So that's why, another reason, why these studies are essential to light. Because in wisdom and understanding, you have all the answers. And if you ain't got them, you sure know where to get them. And if you're cognizant of what is going on universally, you know what's happening. And if you keep a pulse on your people and the evidence doesn't lie, you know what's happening. You got to be a man, a woman of this universe, not simply of your little small frame in society, your so-called hood in society, where nobody is beating a path to. They're trying to get up out of there. You have to help people find the answers if they want the answers. You have to help people point them in the right direction. You can't be part of the problem. You have to be part of the solution. And that's another primary reason why we study the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. He helps you to be cognizant of this universe. He helps you to keep a pulse on us. He helps you to learn and teach you to learn to love him with all his heart, all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And our brothers and sisters, as I said. And if you got low self-esteem, no high regard for oneself, it's virtually impossible for you to have high self-esteem in our regard for anyone that looks anything remotely like you. What you'll be willing to do is treat it any tacky old, trashy old, terroristic way. And that's what we do to one another. And it doesn't have to be that way. It's not by force. The scary white man, the universal white race supremacy, is not making you do what we do to one another. We're doing that because we don't know y'all. And we don't know each other. So we don't value y'all. And we don't value each other. And the evidence doesn't lie. We strongly advise and encourage you to study y'all, to know y'all, to find out who y'all really is. Ask the Most High for a new heart and a new spirit so you can learn to love the Most High with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And you can learn to value your brothers and sisters as you value yourself. And you certainly would value yourself if you knew Yah. I strongly suspect you'll value anything remotely looks like you. It'll help you erase that social engineering and conditioning. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. I, along with Brother Cottrell and Sister Abby of New York City, bring these studies to you not because we're trying to be something special, but because we value you. Not because we're trying to be your charismatic leader, because we know who the real leader is. Not because we're willing to show up, show out, and showboat and share nothing, but because we got everything you need by way of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And by way of learning to treat one another according to Yah, praise Yah and bless his holy name. As I said, Brother Cottrell, he's not looking for you to give him no flattery. It makes no difference to him because you flatter him. He know who he is, what he is, and what he should be doing. He does this as a labor of love, just like Sister Abia. They're not looking to be paid by you. You ain't got enough money for this. But they do it because it's the right thing to do, not only for them, but for each one of you fellow students. It's not incumbent upon Brother Cartrell and Sister Abia, Sister Nisanya, and Yom Sufari. It's incumbent upon each one of us to teach one of us and to show one of us. It's just that simple. Don't make this hard. As Cartrell said, it's an open book test. You can't fail unless you get plain old stupid. But that's okay. That's okay. Keep coming back. Keep sticking where you are. Keep trying to learn to love your brothers and sisters and learn to love yourself so you can do it for them just like you're doing for you. Get that social engineering conditioning by the white man out of your minds. Because you all you need, you all you can be, and you need one another. It's just that simple. You can't do it alone. I can't do it alone. We're not designed that way. You trying to be a white man. You trying to be a universal white race supremacist. Number one, you ain't white. You looked in the mirror lately. Number two, they know who you are, and they ain't going to let you be part of their team. Learn to be on your own team. Value yourselves and each other. It's just that simple. So without further ado, let me introduce Brother Cartrell for you. Big brother, how you doing in New York City and your family? May the Most High bless you. Sister Avia, how you doing in the Bronx in New York City? May the Most High bless you and your family. Fellow students, how y'all doing? Yeah, you know that. I'm from the South. Y'all doing? May the Most High bless you and your families. Welcome to the Real Talk for Real People show. Brother Cartrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
First and foremost, I want to say, bless Yah, oh my soul. Lord, I continue to bless His holy name. All praise, honor, and glory to the Holy One of Israel. God, Abraham, and Jacob. I'm well, Brother Yom Sufari. Shalom, shalom. And most God bless you.
Shalom, shalom.
Sister Abia, Sister Nisanya, and all the family that's out there seeking Yah. How y'all doing?
We doing okay, big brother. Bless Yah and bless you. Bless your family.
Praise Yah. And for me, Yom Su, there's a saying that goes, iron sharpens iron.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to sharpen our people. Just as our brother Yehoshua had the children of Israel sharpened all 12 tribes when he took over the land of Canaan. We all need to be in the same page.
Exactly.
So that's our job. Get our people on the same page.
Yes. Exactly. Praise Yah.
Unfortunately, we don't know who we are, where we come from, what our history, heritage, and culture is. So our job is even greater than what our brother Yehoshua had. Because at least they knew who they were. And their purpose was.
Exactly. Exactly.
So trying to drop this knowledge on our people. Because we are the jewels of the Most High.
Exactly.
Yeah, man.
Ready to go? Yeah, I'm ready, big brother. I'm just waiting out of common courtesy for you to finish.
I'm done, man.
So big brother, fellow.
What's
that, brother? What is that, big brother?
I'm done. We got to sharpen each other.
For sure. That's a fact, brother. That's a fact. Thank you, big brother. And thank you, Yah, most importantly. Chapter 20 of Yehoshua. Some of you call it Joshua. That is not the correct pronunciation. The correct pronunciation is Joshua, using Y instead of J. Chapter 20. It tells about the city of refuge for innocent and people that did things by mistake. Not these deliberate people in this Western Hemisphere who deliberately seek out and target people to kill. But if you may injure someone or kill somebody by accident and not by pre-design or predetermination, you have a place to go to, refuge. And there were six cities of refuge in chapter 20 in our land. Unlike this country, the only place you go into is the jail. Innocent or not, you go to jail. Quite different in this Western Hemisphere. Yah also spoke to Yahushua, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint for yourself cities of refuge, in which I spoke to you through Mosaic, that the slayer who kills a person, if you kill a person accidentally or unintentionally, may flee there. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood, someone of the family or some a member of the family, they had somebody to take care of you. You are saved from these people. And when this person flees to one of those cities, and this person stands at the entrance of the gate of the city and declares his case, he got to present his case to the hearing of the elders. That is always prominent in our nation, unlike in this Western Hemisphere. They must make their case to the hearing of the elders of their city. They shall take him, the elders, into the city as one of them. Okay, that's cool. We got you. And give him a place that he may dwell among them. Then, if the avenger of blood pursues him, they shall not deliver the slayer into his hand, because he struck his neighbor unintentionally, but did not hate him beforehand. He shall dwell in that city, that sanctuary city, until he stands before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the one who is high priest at that time. Then the slayer may return and come to his own city, in his own house, to the city which he fled, and there ain't nobody for to put hands on him, or her for that matter. So they appointed Kadesh in Galilee as one of the cities, in the mountains of Naphtali, Shechem, in the mountains of Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron, in the mountains of Yehuda. And on the other side of the Jordan were the two tribes and the half tribe. By Jericho eastward they assigned Bezer, this city, in the wilderness on the plain, from the river, from the tribe of Reuben, within that landmass. Ramoth in Gilead, in the landmass of the tribe of Gad. And Golan, I know you've heard this name before. Golan Heights, taking by the so-called Israelis in the Six-Day War from Syria. Golan, they call it Golan, but they call it Golan Heights now. In Bashan, and this is in the landmass of the tribe of Manasseh. Okay? Have they got those cities located there? Okay, well, I don't think so. These were the cities appointed for the children of Israel, and in addition, a stranger, one of different nations, could go there, who dwelt among them. That whoever killed a person accidentally might flee there and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he's still before the congregation to be judged. It's simple. But do they have those things going on now in the Golan Heights, in the landmass of Manasseh? I don't think so. And you know it's true. But they spoke to him, what are these cities of sanctuary? So that means the real people that's supposed to establish these cities mandated by Yah as sanctuary cities ain't there. Otherwise, I strongly advise and suggest that those sanctuary cities would be in play, but they're not. So what that goes to show you, would a real Hebrew Israelite stand up? Oh, that ain't them. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. Big Brother Cartrell, give the mic.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel. God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you can see the difference between Eastern justice and Western justice.
Exactly.
When you read this chapter, it reminds you of the old Chinese Kung Fu movies. Because every family had an avenger of blood. You send the baddest dude in your family out. To avenge the blood of somebody that has been murdered or killed. So,
exactly.
So, I don't know if you noticed.
The names of some of these cities.
Is Galilee the South of Million?
Yes, Galilee.
And that's associated a lot with the New Testament.
Exactly.
But who was in charge of Galilee?
It wasn't Yehuda.
No, it sure wasn't. Galilee was controlled by the tribe of Naphtali.
Shechem.
Okay, Ephraim. That's the next city.
Right.
What we know about Shechem?
Shechem? Nothing?
We don't know anything about Shechem?
No.
Sure we do.
You remember Dina?
Oh, yeah, Dina. Yeah. It was got raped there, pillaged. Yeah, Shechem.
Yeah, Dina got raped in the city of Shechem.
Exactly.
By the city that was named after the prince that raped her. His name was Shechem.
Okay, all right.
And we know who took over that city.
Naphtali.
No.
No, hold on. Okay, Ephraim. And Kirjath Arba, which is in Hebron, is at the mountains of Yehuda.
And we read yesterday where
Judah, Ephraim,
and Benjamin,
their lands are close together.
Exactly.
So,
we also remember.
That three tribes on one side of Jordan took possession of their land, right?
Exactly.
Do you remember what tribes those were?
Reuben, Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh.
And they had to have cities of refuge on their side of the River Jordan.
Exactly.
And we see that.
And one of the cities were Bezer in the wilderness on the plain from the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth, and Gilead from the tribe of Gad, and Golan Heights, and Bashan from the half tribe of Manasseh.
And what do you know about Bashan?
Remind me, Cartrell. The name is familiar.
How about Og?
Yeah, Og, the king of Og, Bashan. Correct.
Og, king of Bashan. And what do you know about Og, king of Bashan?
I know he got his butt whooped by us.
He was a giant. Yes, sir. So we see in these cities right now in ancient times, in these scriptures, in the book of Yehoshua. But we see these names of these cities when you watch the news today.
When you watch the news today.
Exactly.
Gaza.
Exactly.
Gaza.
Olam. And we need to know the history.
We need to know the history.
That's why we need to be cognizant universally of what's going on, Kadri.
Do our people know about Gaza and Gold?
No, brother, they don't care. They care about Ray Ray and Poo Poo in the hood.
But it's an intricate part of our history, isn't it?
It certainly is.
All right.
You
got so much to learn.
So much to learn.
So much wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to gain.
It never stops, Kajira.
Oh, no.
The learning never stops. You can't say, oh, I got it all. You'll never have it all. Because Kajira and I just learned about King Og of Bashan and recent studies. And it skipped Yom Suf mind that quick until Kajira reminded us. That's why these things, the redundancy of them all is good for you. So you can retain them in your mind. That's why our kings were required to study every day. Are you any better than our kings? I think not. Praise God.
So we hear about the Golan Heights, but we don't know. That Golan is associated with Bashan. King of Bashan. And it was associated with giants.
Exactly.
As is Gaza.
Gaza is associated with giants.
Exactly.
So we hear that Palestinian young women and children are being bombarded by the Israelis. But the name Gaza has history.
Exactly.
And we should know it.
We certainly should. And that's why these studies are essential, Kajira.
Yep, because you ain't going to learn in no Western institution.
That's for sure.
You better believe it. Praise Yah. Thank you, big brother. Fellow students, Kajira is about to lead us in our last segment of the study for tonight. It's in Mashal, chapter 26. Some of you call it Proverbs. That is not the actual name. It's Mashal, chapter 26. You want wisdom and understanding? Listen up. Big brother, you have the mic.
All praise to the Holy One of Israel. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yehovah, King Solomon, King Shlomo, for Mashal 26. How many of us write?
How many of us write?
Yeah, like King Solomon, King David.
Yeah,
I don't even write.
Some of them. I don't because, you know, I could write if I wanted to, but I elect not to because I don't have the wisdom and understanding that King Solomon shared. And I'd rather for them to focus on what King Solomon said because they are distracted by so many writings of so many fools, and I don't want to join that number. So I'd rather point them in the right direction of good reading as far as King Solomon and Mosaic, the writers of the Most High Word. I'd much rather point them in that direction.
So you're telling me that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you don't want to read them?
I'm not interested.
And nobody really quotes King Solomon. He had much more wisdom than Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John.
Exactly. Well, Kajira, reason why I'm cognizant of our universe, I see these evangelicals, these white evangelicals that say they're so close to Jesus. If that's the Jesus they bring in, is that the Jesus they talking about? No, I don't want to know what Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Mary, or nobody else got to say about it, truth be told.
This is why we love our King. because the Most High blessed him with wisdom on a higher plateau, on a higher level than Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I hear our people quoting King Solomon.
Exactly.
So King Solomon in Mashal 26 says, what do you say? Like snow in summer or rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. He's getting down to the nitty gritty.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He's talking about the people right. around him.
Right.
He knows who's foolish and he knows who's wise.
Right.
And we should make that kind of discernment based on what comes out of people's mouths. Is this man
exactly.
a fool? Is this woman a fool? Or is this woman or this man imparting some wisdom that I could use?
Exactly.
And snow in the summer? When the last time you see snow in the summer?
It don't look right.
It ain't happening. Snow in the summer ain't happening.
It don't look right.
They had a record that was out, Summer Snow. Summer
uh-huh.
Snow. Summer Snow. Ooh, Summer Snow. But I ain't never seen no snow in the summer.
Me neither.
And I'm not a farmer, but I'm sure that rain, when you're trying to harvest the crop, it ain't good.
It ain't working.
You out there in the rain trying to harvest the corn, the tomatoes, the collard greens, and it's raining.
It ain't working.
So honor is not fitting for a fool.
It don't look right, and it ain't working.
So all these fools on Fool's Book trying to get some kind of honor, trying to shine, trying to show out.
Mm-hmm.
It ain't coming.
No, they don't want to hear. They don't want to hear wisdom and understanding.
A sparrow in its flighting, like a swallow in its flying, a curse that is causeless does not alight. How many people try to curse us without reason?
Man, every day of the weekend in some.
Oh, I hate those Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
Your curse on us ain't happening. Don't work.
It don't work.
Only the Most High's curse that's on us because we disobeyed him. That's the only curse we under. And we can reverse
exactly.
that curse.
Exactly.
King Solomon says, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. How many fools on Fool Book would get beat down if King Solomon was king?
A whole lot of them.
Yo, put the rod in their backs because they don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Answer not a fool according to his folly. Can't talk to fools on Fool Book unless you be like him yourself. If you indulge in the people on Fool's Book, you must be a fool too.
Right.
Answer not a fool according to his folly. Unless you be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly. Unless he be wise in his own eyes. And sometimes you got to answer fools in your own family. Like, yo, I got to straighten you out before you go out there with that foolishness.
Because
you don't know what you're talking about. Whether it be your uncle, your son, your cousin, your brother, your wife. I got to straighten you out, homie, before you go out there with that foolishness. Whoever sends a message by the hand of a fool cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. Why would you give a message to a fool to carry out when you know he's a fool?
Exactly.
Like a lame man's leg, which hangs useless, is a proverb in the mouth of fools. You can see that King Solomon didn't like foolish people, right?
No, I didn't. Just like that leg don't get it. That little leg ain't going to get it. Well, that fool had wisdom and understanding ain't going to get it.
And him talking about a lame man's leg reminds you reminds me of you talking about a dog crooked hind leg.
Crooked in a dog's hind leg. It's true. I ain't never seen a straight one yet.
King Solomon says, like one who binds a stone in a sling is one who gives honor to a fool. Can't give honor to fools. Like
right.
a thorn that goes up into the hand of a drunkard is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Crazy.
They don't fit it. A drunkard getting stuck with a thorn in his hand, he don't fit it. Just like
right,
that fool don't feel what he's talking about. Yeah. What he's talking about. Yeah.
Right. Don't make no kind of impact.
No impact.
At all, because he ain't feeling that thorn in his hand.
No.
And you be trying to stick him hard. Yo, I just put a thorn in your head. Did you feel that? Like, what?
I ain't nothing about here. Well, you get that fool, that same wisdom, understand? Man, you don't know what you talking about, fool, but he going to call you the fool. That's just giving food with an understanding. It makes no impact upon them. They don't feel it.
I just hope we don't have no fools out there listening on the radio show.
Well, they need to hear it, though. Hey, yo, it's not going to make an impact upon them. But they can't say they didn't hear it, okay?
Praise God. Like an archer. Who wounds everyone is one who hires a passing fool or drunkard. How are you going to hire a fool or a drunkard to, like, go kill Trump?
It ain't going to get told. If it get told, it's going to get told the wrong way.
King Solomon says, like a dog that returns to his vomit. That's nasty. It's a fool who repeats his folly.
Doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results.
And what do you say you're doing as a fool? You nasty.
You nasty. You return it back to your own vomit.
It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? Raise your hand.
Donald Trump.
He ain't alone.
Mm-hmm. A whole lot of them.
You talk to our people out here, they wise their own eyes. You can't
mm-hmm.
teach them truth. You can't give them knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. They already know.
It has no impact upon them.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the Most High says about them?
What's
King
that,
Solomon?
Bro?
He says
mm-hmm.
there's more hope for a fool than him.
Mm-hmm.
And King Solomon just been going in on the fool, right? Real hard.
Everything
he's just raised about the fool.
Right. He don't like lazy people, too.
But he thinks that the man who thinks that he's wise in his own eyes is worse than a fool.
Yeah.
So there's something that's lower than a fool. Somebody
who's
wise in his own
people
eyes.
People pride for self-important. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The sluggard says, there's a lion on the road. There's a lion in the streets. Making up excuses not to do work, right?
Exactly.
And you can't let your fears stop you from doing what you got to do. You got to conquer your fears, right?
Exactly.
Even if there is a lion in the road and a lion in the street, you still got to get up, get out, and do you in order to live, right?
Exactly.
You can't stay inside all day, every day, because there's a lion in the street or there's a lion
mm-hmm.
in the road. You will die,
right.
won't you? As the door turns on its hinges, so does a slugger on his bed. Yeah,
it
that's
just
what
stuck,
they do.
Stuck in that one place. Stuck in that one place. Like that door can't go nowhere off them hinges. That lazy man is stuck in that same place. Can't go nowhere. It's stuck there.
And if you don't turn around like a hinge, he going to have holes in his body.
Exactly.
Bed sore.
Get your butt up.
You ever seen bed sore? You ever seen a bed sore?
Yeah.
Do you know what a bed sore is?
Well, see, I can't just lay down. Stay like
huh?
I got to get a make room. I ain't never seen one. I heard about it. Because I got to make a move, bro.
Yon Sufari, you do not want to see a bed sore. You do not. I'm going to tell you what
you
left.
You got to get off your butt.
I worked in a nursing home, and I seen a bed sore. This old man had a hole in his leg to the point where you could see the bone in his leg. That's a bed sore. And the reason you get bed sores is because you don't turn when you're laying in your bed.
Right.
And it's crazy. It shocked me. I ain't never seen anything like that in my life.
Yeah, the body's not designed to just lay on one spot.
Oh, no. King Solomon says the slug is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Somebody who's hard-headed, stiff-necked, don't want to hear nothing, he knows it all. Whoever meddles in a quarrel, not his own, is like one who takes a passing dog by the ear. How many people take passing dogs by the ear?
That's rather simple. I mean, stay out of other folk business. Something don't concern you, get yourself out of other folk business. You ain't got a dime in the situation. What you got to do with it? And that's akin to taking a pit bull by the ears. He can bite your stupid behind on both of your arms. So that means both of them people going to be taking a bite out of your stupid behind for getting them folk business that don't concern you. Stay out of other folk business. Food melting other people fast. And both of them folk can take a bite. Go, you can't stop the dog from biting you on the left arm. You can't stop the dog from biting you on the right arm just by holding his two ears. They're going to tear your behind up. That's what it means.
And this one code right here, Yamsu, this one code right here.
Right.
It's how you survive in Harlem. Mind your own damn business.
That's how you stay well everywhere.
Yes, sir.
Mind your own damn, it don't concern you.
I'm trying to tell you how to get the hell up out of Harlem. You have to mind your own damn business because you will get shot. You will get shot if you meddle in other people's quarrels. Trust me.
Right.
I know. You have to stay out there, the hell out of anybody's business in order to get the hell out of Harlem.
Oh,
yes, sir. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I'm only joking.
No, they
you hate people who joke like that, huh?
No,
like
they
the course
ain't.
Of your life. You're just joking. All right. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. That's common sense. And where there is no whisper, quarreling ceases. You talking about people behind their back stirring up trouble?
Yeah.
You setting up sparks and fire. People's spirit, people's emotions, just like fire, right?
Right. Terrible. Yeah, it's kindled. It's kindled. You tear a band. Well, you don't even have no evidence what you're talking about. You just talking about he said, she said. You're not trying to solve a problem. You're just trying to kindle more strife.
And words result in action.
Exactly.
And that fire, that words stir up, bring out the guns and the knives and the machetes and whatever weapon, and then it gets physical.
Exactly.
As charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. It's the same thing, right?
Well, my daddy, you said, they just keep up S. Papa told the truth. A contentious man and a woman just keep up mess. They mess it.
And we call them instigators, right? Instigators.
People that instigate. Yeah.
Right? You just want to see trouble. You want to stir up drama.
Mm-hmm.
the words, like the gazelle covering an earthen vessel, are fervent lips with an evil heart. Maybe you could break that down.
Well, okay, and they go down into the animal's body, fervent lips with a wicked heart, like earthware covered with dust. This is superficial. They look like they know what they're talking about. They seem like they know what they're talking about. But in a fine analysis, they just earthware covered with silver dust. They just something that's simplistic, covered like something they got going on, like it's really valuable.
They find on the outside, the hole on the inside.
Right. Ain't nothing on the inside. They look good on the outside, but ain't nothing. They dead, walking dead Negroes and Negresses in the inside. And universal white race supremacists.
I'm glad you mentioned them, because universal white race supremacy is mentioned in verse 24.
Right.
Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors a seed in his heart. And haven't we experienced that here in America?
Yeah, lip service. Lip service to justice. Lip service to equality. Lip service to everything that's right, but ain't nothing inside.
Hate
within them.
Disguises and deceit. Right?
Exactly.
When he speaks graciously, believe him not. And Native Americans told us,
right,
man speak with forked tongue. But we still believe him because he marched in the street trying to make him a single tongue individual, make him live by his word. No, he ain't doing that. And whatever they say, don't believe them, especially politicians, right?
Exactly.
Because they speak graciously. They come around, kiss your babies. They make all kind of promises. Do they fulfill what they say when they come around?
Exactly.
That's why we shouldn't believe them.
Exactly.
But there are seven abominations in his heart. Did you know that? When these politicians come around, they got seven abominations in their heart.
Y'all finna tell you what they are.
When he speaks racially, believe it or not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred, do they hate us?
You better believe it.
Be covered with deception. Do they deceive us?
You better believe it.
Oh, I got many African-American friends. Okay.
How many you got? Willie work at the job.
His wickedness will be exposed in the assembly, meaning in public.
It's true. Exactly.
Whoever digs a pit will fall into it. That's why you ain't got to worry about wicked people setting traps for you,
exactly,
trying to destroy you. Because whatever they do against the righteous, it's going to fall back on them. And his stone will come back on him who starts it rolling. A lying tongue hates his victims. That's why they lie to you. Why they lie to
you? They hate you.
Because they hate you. And they want to make you a victim. And a flattering mouth works ruin. And they we love black people. We love your music. We love how you play basketball. We love how y'all vote. No, they just flattering y'all, trying to ruin you.
And truth be told, Cottrell, flattery from anyone is not good for anything. Truth be told.
And all that flattery, you ain't paying retribution, reparation. We hear the flattery. Y'all love us. Y'all love our music. You love we play sports. You love how we jump and run and put the ball in the hoop. But where's the true love for what we've done for this nation beyond us entertaining y'all?
Flattery should hold no value to anyone because it does little.
Flattery,
right.
Because they're trying to sucker punch you.
Right.
Right?
No matter what quarter it comes from, check flattery. Flattery does no good for no one. They can say, Yum Su, you're the smartest brother I ever seen. What do that really mean? That's not flattery. That's an insult. I mean, you talking about all of us are stupid except me? Come on, man. That ain't no flattery. So take all flattery from all quarters with a grain of salt. People can flatter you all day long. But with that flattery, what comes along with it? Does flattery do anything for you? Does flattery actually physically work for you? Give me all these flatteries. You know, Cottrell, when I was a young fellow in high school, the girls used to try to flatter me all the time. It held no value. Yeah, I'm so fine. No, but they was my slave name. Ron Killebill, you look like Al Green. You so handsome. But all that old flattery ain't paid no bills, ain't got me out of traumatic situations, ain't put no clothes on me, ain't did nothing but eat. Just made me feel ego run amok. That's why I don't like being flattered. It never took me out of the traumatic situation I was in. It never put any clothes on my back. It never got me a haircut. It never put shoes on my foot. It just tried to make me feel good about myself when I really didn't know who I was. And so flattery only went so far from one ear to the other, and it still does, country. You can flatter Yum Su all day long. You ain't going to get no response from me other than thank you. And it doesn't mean nothing. It doesn't matter to me then as a young boy, and certainly as a elder, it doesn't matter anything to me because it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't do anything for you. It just makes you feel ego run amok. I'm something special. No, you ain't. No, I wouldn't. So don't let people flatter you with the nonsense, okay? From all quarters. It doesn't do anything for you but ego run amok. Thank you, big brother.
And flattery is the tool that pimps use in order for them to put their corral of whores together.
Yeah, players use that. Players use flattery all the time to manipulate women. But what does it do for you?
It brings you to ruin, like King Solomon said.
It doesn't cost me nothing to flatter someone to get what I want. Pimps use it, players use it. But what does it actually do for you? It just sets you on a course of destruction. It's just ego run amok with no substance. So flattery from each and every quarter ought to be kept at bay. It doesn't actually do anything for you. Makes you feel good about being stupid to do something wrong. That's all it does. You can keep the flattery. Pay my bills. Yeah, players and pimps use that all the time. Flattery.
Yeah, so humility is important. Doesn't matter what people say about you, just stay humble.
Exactly. Bingo. Stay humble. Because you can't get played if you're humble. You're honest with yourself if you're honest. Can't nobody run the okie doke on you if you're honest and you're humble. But if you're full of pride and ego, run amok. You can be tricked into being anything anyone wants you to be. And you think you're on top of the game. The game is on top of you. Don't let people flatter you. And flattery brings nothing along with it. Be humble. People say, yeah, okay, thank you. Going back to this. Whatever. What they going to do for me? Praise y'all, big brother. Praise y'all.
Praise
That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about, Carter. I'm so happy that you shared these studies with us, this wisdom and understanding, according to Yah. Because our people need all the wisdom and understanding they can get and then some. That's why it's imperative that they study the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. That's why it's imperative that they keep a pulse on one another. Because you can study each other. And you can see the response and the evidence done live. Thank you, big brother. Thank you, fellow students, for sharing in these studies with us. Keep meditating on these studies. Keep coming back. Just like they said, Alcoholic Anonymous, it works if you work it. Just like Alcoholic Anonymous, it works if you work it. Don't put it on the shelf gathering dust. Don't put it in your closet gathering dust and think it's going to work like a magic good luck charm. It works if you work it. It's just that simple. Thank you, big brother. Thank you again, fellow students. And most importantly, thank you, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. Bless and praise your holy name, Yah. And bless my brothers and sisters and fellow students. And may you bless Cartrell and his family. May you bless Sister Abiyah, her family. You bless Sister Nisanya, which I am a family. I give you a blessing too, bad. Praise Yah, bless his holy name. Katria, any close remarks and a comment? Shalom's, good night, goodbyes, or whatnot?
Give thanks to the Holy One of Israel for giving us the opportunity to share his word, his wisdom, knowledge, and understanding with our people, with ourselves, to be in line with him. And I just wanted to say one thing about the flattery, that America got all kind of awards, Emmy Award, MVP award for sports, and all that's flattery. And what does it do? It saves our individuals and really separates individuals from their people. But you just got to be aware of who we are and what we need to be doing as your servants. And don't take the flattery of our enemy, you know, and try to elevate ourselves above our brothers and our sisters to say that we're something special, because we're, you know, it's a thing that we should be united. But praise the Holy One.
Ain't nobody special individually unless we all special collectively. Praise God.
We should be like the ant colony, like Yah says in Proverbs. Consider the ants, we have no leader. But the ants, when they're united, they are fearsome force.
Right. Praise Yah.
Praise Yah.
Well, we love y'all. May the Most High bless you. Most High willing, come back tomorrow. It works if you work it. Praise Yah and bless his holy name. And bless each of you. We love you. Shalom and good night.
Hey, stand in a circle of peace, 'cause only the willing will see their dreams. The sins of society, the children are guilty, no.